Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. I know I did. Tony and I, we celebrated. We had a great time. And I just love the history of our country. And I love how, you know, sometimes plants can be associated with holidays. So I'll be talking about that. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Great. Did you have a good 4th of July?
Yes. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank iHeartRadio. And I would also like to thank Tom Olson with Olson on Law. Because of you all, I got a 4-day weekend for once in my life. So, because y'all chose to run best of. So, thank you all.
Oh, you're so welcome. I appreciate it. And we're going to have a great show today. We are here live for you. This is going to be your gardening question day. I have a lot of great information to give to you. Last year, I was asked by Fox Chapel Publishing to be the technical editor of a book that was published in 2011 by some local architects and horticulturists, Stephen and Karen Patagas, and it's called Southern Coastal Landscaping, Home Landscaping, Southern Coastal Home Landscaping. And it is out now, the second edition. We've gone through and updated it and added wonderful, wonderful new plants to it, made some changes, and it's a great book. It is the latest addition to Creative Homeowners award-winning bestseller series, and it is got just really great ideas for designing gardens and then also adding patios and arbors and pergolas and ponds. It gives you lots of DIY information on that. It has 38 designs created by landscape professionals specifically for the Southeast United States coastal areas, those states. And so each taking into consideration the unique climate and environments, you get over 160 plants picked for your regions with detailed descriptions. And all you need to know is how to plant and maintain them. And we include that in the instructions. Over 350 photos and illustrations so that you can create your perfect landscape. And then again, like I said, step-by-step DIY instructions. So the second edition includes guidance on using native plants and invasive species. Over the last decade, we've had more information, more studies, and we know which ones are more invasive. And so you'll be able to find those. So the book features landscape designs created by landscape designers and professionals from Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Texas. So if you'd like to get that book, it is called Southern Coastal Home Landscaping, Second Edition. And that will be available this month. You can pre-order it. It's very reasonable. It's like $24. And it is a wonderful book to add to your gardening library.
So it's definitely worth it because, you know, I'm thumbing through it. And so I saw this thing called, what is that? Yoshi Japanese Cedar.
Yes.
Can we grow that here? Because it said zone 8 and 9.
Yes.
What? Okay.
You can. Yes. So what is the scientific name? Does it give the scientific name there?
Really? You should have asked me that.
Yeah. Yes, you can grow it in zone 9. So these okay. are all plants that can take the humidity, take the rainfall, and also to, handle the insects and disease issues here in the area.
It says Kyprotomerica. Uh-huh. At Japanese Yoshi. That's
there you go. Very good.
Yeah, you wouldn't have told you never would have known. I've been a librarian for 20 years before this. I can't even pronounce this.
No. That's great. Now, some of the plants you'll find in nurseries and box stores. Some of them you may need to order online, but they are all available, and we've updated them to just give you the most beautiful flowering, pest-free, disease-free plants in your garden and how to plant them.
Well, maybe y'all could also check out like Peterson's Nursery too, if there's some of those that you see in this book.
They can at Peterson's Nursery. They can order it also at Quality Green Specialist.
Yes.
They will order them for you. Exactly. And speaking of Peterson's Nursery, they have a great workshop this morning, and it is at 9:30, and it's going to be on seasonal weed control. And I'm telling you, the weeds are driving me crazy, and I'm so blessed that Tony went out and weeded our garden this week.
That was very sweet of him.
Oh, very sweet. And it looks so good. And there's just nothing more satisfying than looking at your garden and knowing that it's weed free.
What do you do with your weeds? Okay, you walk up to your little area. What do you do, Teresa?
I throw them in the garbage.
Okay, see, I just take mine, I chunk them over my shoulder because we usually run the lawnmower afterwards.
But see, that's okay if they haven't gone to flower.
Oh.
But if they've gone to flower and they have seeds, then you're just propagating them for next year.
Like my sunflowers. Okay, good plan.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, always try and get your seeds, weeds before they flower. And then that way they you won't be spreading it in other areas. And so that's good. So flooding this week. So Leesburg got over 5 inches of rain.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 7.2 inches of rain.
Holy
in
cow.
Leesburg last night. Volusia County, 5 inches. Sumter County got 3 inches. Ocala got 4 inches. No need to irrigate this week at all. So that's the important part. So you don't need to irrigate for the next 7 to 10 days. So stay with us. This is your day. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talkin' Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, this is your day to call in, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And we have Aida from Windermere. She says, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for a perfect text message. She says her leaves on her lemon tree are curling, and they are bending and have white lines on them, looking sad. So what can I do? So one of the citrus has just a lot of pest issues possible. It could be from aphids or white flies. So I would go up to your lemon tree, Aida, and kind of just ruffle the leaves a little bit. See if you see any little white moths flying up from it, or you could, just check it. That could be aphids or white flies, and you can use any good product, insecticidal soap or oil. Use the oil early in the morning or late at night. Don't use it in the heat of the day. And the lines are caused by leaf miner. And so leaf miner is really interesting because it happens when you have new growth of leaves. Those little itty-bitty leaves that are so delicious to insects, it's caused by a moth that lays its eggs in between the layers of the leaf. And then as that larva hatches, it eats its way out of the leaf in all kinds of different directions. So you got all these little squiggly lines on the leaves. So here's the good news. The good news is it's not going to kill your citrus tree. It's not going to damage it. It's by the time you see the lines, the insect is already gone. So there's no reason to spray it for that. And so what you need to do is spray preventatively a pesticide on the new growth, which you should be doing anyway for citrus greening too as well. So new growth of citrus, if you do a foliar spray on it for a pesticide, then that will prevent that from happening. Okay, so it could be a number of different insects, Aida. So it could be, we know it's leaf miner is one of them, but it could also be aphids or white flies. So check that out. Use a horticultural oil or a horticultural spray. So that's a great, great, great question. And so that will be good. Now, also, too, this is the month of July, And what should you be planting this month? Well, this is a month where vegetables kind of take a rest. Okay, we're starting to, you can start to plant seeds to transplant outdoors or in your garden bed area. This is the month to buy seeds if you haven't already for your vegetable garden. Go ahead and do that. But if you're wanting to grow vegetables, you want to be using tropical Caribbean and Asian vegetables that can handle the heat of the summertime, can also handle the rain. And so some of those are boniato, calabaza, and then okra, which is, we grow here during the summertime. It takes the heat very well. Member of the mallow hibiscus family. Southern peas, Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassavas, roselle, sweet potatoes, yard-long beans, and then again, starting your seeds of your eggplants, peppers, and tomato seeds, starting now through August so that you can have them ready for your fall garden. Also, too, cherry tomatoes. You know, we don't plant or we don't keep our tomatoes growing during the summertime because tomatoes do not germinate. They do not produce fruit when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. But cherry tomatoes and Everglade tomatoes do. So if you want to keep up your tomato harvest for the summertime, then definitely go ahead and plant some of those, cherry tomatoes. And also to the Everglades tomato produces all year round. Neem oil. Okay, so let's see. All right. Pardon me, we do have a caller. Oh, wonderful. Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
The roosters are quiet this morning.
Okay. Oh, they are. I don't hear them. Oh, there you go. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Eileen's at home. I hope she's listening so I don't get in trouble.
Well, that's why the roosters aren't crowing. You're not home.
I'm not home. I don't have to listen to the little buggers.
So what are you thinking about this morning?
I heard that when the crepe myrtle blooms and then the blooms start to die off, we can cut them off and they will rebloom. Is that true?
Yes, depending on the time of the year. If it's too late in the season, like if it's September and October, depending on the temperatures, it could rebloom again. But definitely now, if you cut them back off and they have enough nutrition, they will bloom again.
All right, because I don't want to be hitting the head for crepe myrtle.
No, I do not. I do not want to hit you over the head for crepe murder.
No, not you, Eileen.
Well, I love that she is a great advocate for, preventing crepe murder.
Yes, she is. And if I go out there with a pair of prunes, she will bop me.
Well, no, that's wonderful. And it's a good reminder that, you don't need to hack down your crepe myrtle. And I've seen so many examples of crepe myrtles that only are producing a few blooms and a lot of leaf growth, a lot of branches, but no blooms. And that's one of the symptoms or one of the signs that you've cut it back too harshly.
Well, I've seen, going into Lakeland from Polk City, I've seen people cutting their crepe myrtles, completely down.
No, that's terrible. There's no reason to do it. It doesn't make them bloom more. It doesn't produce any good side effects. And you can ultimately, cause the crepe myrtle to decline.
Okay. All right, dear. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you calling in. Tell Eileen we said hello and the roosters. Let's go to John in, Lake Nona.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. The reason I'm calling is I've got like a moss-type weed growing on my gravel driveway.
Uh-huh.
And I've used Roundup, the Quick Pro, which is pretty strong, and it kills, broadleaf weeds and that throughout the flower beds.
Okay.
But someone told me it had an oil in it, and it just rolls off, and it doesn't seem to kill them. Even days that we've had no rain, this stuff's about takes about an hour to dry, and it should work, but it's just not really phasing it unless I, you know, absolutely soak it, and that'd be too expensive.
Right, exactly.
There's something I could add to it.
No, I will tell you honestly, John, in the summertime, herbicides are really ineffective for a lot of weeds because the weeds are stronger than the herbicide, and you tend to do not use herbicides during the summertime or again over temperatures over 85 degrees because you'll hurt your grass and your plants very quickly in the summertime, and it doesn't really do anything to the weed. Now, is this a little weed that's it's got really, really tiny leaves?
Yeah, it's really tiny. It looks like a moss.
Uh-huh.
And now somebody mentioned, I can't remember who, somebody mentioned mixed vinegar in with it because that'll burn it.
Well, it will, but that's not going to, you know, kill it. So when you burn
right.
something, it just damages the leaves. That's called artillery
right.
Fern, the artillery plant. And it really is a very invasive. It just is really hard to get rid of. You could just do wait the amount of time on the label and reapply, and it should work two or three times later. But I would not use it in your grass or in your garden beds.
Okay.
All right. It just in the summertime, you might have to do a reapplications.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Thanks. Great question. Artillery weed is everywhere, and I have it in my yard too, as well, or in my patio area.
I'm gonna have to look it up. I'm not exactly sure what that is.
It's just a really tiny. It stays low to the ground, and it spreads. And I will tell you, there's some people that I've talked to that love it, and they let it grow. Because it's a summer weed, it disappears in the wintertime, and it comes back again next year. So, I mean, it's going to go away, but it's not going to.
It doesn't look like thyme, but at a quick glance, it almost looks like thyme.
It does. It really does. Huh. That's what he was saying. It kind of looks like moss, you know, in between pavers and things like that. But if you're in a nursery, it's really hard to get rid of. And so this is a really good reminder, too. So I have to remind my landscapers every once in a while that you don't want to buy weeds. Okay, so this is something that, you know, when you are at a nursery or at a box store, check the plant and the soil around the plant that you're buying, the 3-gallon pot, just check around in the soil and leave the weeds in the garbage can before you take them home.
Yes.
Okay. Do not take all these plants home and they got weeds in them and then you plant them in the ground and now you have them.
That's not free plants, just so you know.
Yeah, it's not free plants. Exactly.
And
you don't want to buy weeds. So I always too just run my hand around it, pull everything out of the top portion of the pot, and just leave it in the garbage can. Don't leave it on the ground or anything like that. Be responsible, but leave them there. And that will help you from not bringing home weeds. Because that's how we get a lot of our weeds in our garden beds, is that we plant them. And that's not a really good thing, too, as well. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. You can go to our website, betterlawns.com, and check out the 50 Shades of Green Garden Tour that I'm leading next July,
yes,
2024. I would love for you to come with me, and we are going to check out some of the most beautiful gardens in Ireland, and it's going to fill up very quickly. Please let me know if you'd like to go, and there's also then information to contact on betterlawns.com. 50 Shades of Green. And we're going to go to the oldest garden in Ireland and then also where they have the tallest waterfall in Ireland, too, as well as castles and all that beautiful greenery. And
oh, I'm so jealous. Holy cow. I'm so excited for you, though.
I'm just going to stick you in my luggage and Ooh. Take you with me.
Because I'm too big for your pocket.
No. So, but you can check that out at betterlawns.com. Also, to check out, if you miss any of today's show or any of the past shows, you can go on to iHeartRadio and listen to the podcast afterwards. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is the time for you to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And again, another reminder that if you got an inch of rain this week, not just last night, and it was flooding last night in Lake County, then you do not need to irrigate your lawn at all. 1 inch of water is the right amount for turf and for your landscape if it is established. All right. Now, if it's not established, let's say you're just putting in a new lawn, then what I want you to do is I want you to water. Let's say you lay it on the first day. You want to water it twice a day for the first week, then once a day for the next week, and then once every 2 days the following week, once every 3 days the following week, and then you're on that schedule of every, you know, two times a week if no rain, and you can even really get away with one time a week without any kind of trouble at all. The less you water your turf grass and your landscape, you're going to push those roots down deeper. The more you water, it's basically growing your landscape hydroponically, and you want to have a deep root system, and that means allowing Mother Nature to go ahead and push those roots deeper. If you're watering a lot, then you're, you know, just acerbating the issue, and she's not going to do anything. The grass roots are going to stay there, and it's never going to get established. If you water every day for 30 days like you're allowed to by law, or even some areas do it for 2 months, that is such a bad, bad idea and not best management practices. Okay, so also to fertilizing, there's fertilizer bans around the state. Check with your county to see if there is one. If your grass is turning yellow because of all of this rainfall that you are getting and we're getting, then you can use an iron-only product to green it up, but that's not going to tell it to grow, which is, you know, if you don't like mowing your lawn, why do you want to fertilize it? You know, so just let Mother Nature do it with the heat and everything. It'll grow anyway. Let's go to Roy in Windermere. Good morning, Roy. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you very much for calling.
I got a problem with, well, actually, I don't. My one son does. He's got a fig tree, and the birds keep pecking at his figs.
Okay.
How can he keep them bad boys away?
Okay, and so how tall is it? Is it a fig bush or is it a real tree over 6 to 8 feet tall?
It's probably, 6 to 8 feet tall probably.
Yeah, and so he doesn't want to share his figs. He can put a netting over it, and that's what I would recommend. You can buy a landscape netting that's not as dark as screen netting for windows, but you can buy netting, and I would just... attach it down at the bottom so that they can't get through. Put it. You can even use stakes underneath it to keep it off of the tree.
Just cover the whole thing up with this netting?
With the netting. That's it. Bird netting. Okay. And then that'll keep it. That'll keep the birds away, the squirrels away, because I'm sure they're all sharing.
Where can I get this netting at?
You can get it at Landscape Nurseries. We'll have it. And then also, too, you can order it online. You can find it very easily online from, you know, companies like Garden Supply. Amazon has, you know, it too as well.
I missed a couple of your shows lately, but planting seeds, is vegetable seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too soon to start the seeds?
No. Eggplants, peppers, tomatoes. Yep. You can go ahead and start those now.
And put them in the ground like in?
August. I would say mid-August to late August.
Okay.
Yeah. Give them time to grow. You get 2 to 4 leaves on it. You can transplant it.
So I can get my seeds in. That means I got to clean my garden beds out, huh?
There you go. That's your to-do chores. Your honey-do list. Literally,
right.
Your honey-do list.
Yeah.
Honey-do melons. All right. Anything else, Roy?
No, that's it. I'll call back next week if I need something.
Thank you so much. You're welcome to call anytime. We appreciate you listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you. Bye-bye. And so we have a text message. We have a rose bush. It's 8 feet tall. How do we make it shorter? Okay, so I need to know what kind of rose bush it is. Because if it's a climbing rose bush, they're supposed to get 8 feet tall, and this is not the time of the year to cut them. But if it is a, because I really can't think of any rose bushes that get taller, 8 feet tall, that are not climbers. So I would love to know what kind of rose bush it is. If you don't know, maybe what color it is. But it also could be a shorter variety, like your hybrid tea roses or your regular rose bushes. And it could be a sucker that comes off. And the suckers can get quite tall. If it's below the graft, then I would cut it off. So I need to know the kind of rose bush it is. Maybe you could send a picture to betterlawns.com and I can see it then. Or you can't send a picture with text because we don't get photographs, right? We don't get photographs on it. So, but if it's just a regular rose bush, you can cut it down to, 3 to 4 feet and let it grow again. Okay, so that's what I would recommend. Find out what kind of rose bush it is, because if it's a climber, you want it to be that tall. Wife says it's not a climber. Okay, so I love that. All right, so it's not a climber. Go ahead and look to see at the base of your rose bush. There should be a kind of node or a swollen area down at the ground where it was grafted. And if you see it coming out from the stem or the branch coming out from below that graft, cut it all the way back to that to the trunk. If it's above the graft, then cut it down. Go ahead and cut the bush down to 3 to 4 feet and let it flush back out again. All right? Great question. Thank you so much. How do you like to start seeds? And that's JAC from Cocoa Beach. I like to use a potting seed soil. Okay, it's a little bit lighter than the potting soil you would get. So you want to get seed starting soil. It allows the roots to push through to the seed to push stems through and leaves through, and then roots easy to germinate in. And then full sun. You want full sun. And then keep it moist, not damp. Don't rot that seed. All right. So also to put 2 to 3 seeds per pot. Your little, if you have a seed starting tray, put 2 or 3 there, and then they'll germinate, and then you can separate them and have more plants. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a garden expert, and I would love to have your gardening questions. What are you thinking about? What do you want to do in your landscape? You can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Marlis Brooks in East Orlando, she says, we have a beautiful St. Augustine lawn. However, it is so thick, it feels like we are walking on a mattress. It is also sinking in some areas, and it's getting to be an ankle twister. How do I fix that? Well, Marlis, that's a great question. And it sounds like you're dealing with thatch, okay? So dealing with thatch, and I say that unless you've had a tree removed and you planted over it, you sawed it over a large oak tree, then that would mean that that area is just decomposing and it's sinking, and you have to take the sod up, put some soil in there, and make it level again and secure. But if it is thatch, then you need to aerate it. And this is a problem that can be caused by overwatering and over-fertilizing. So thatch is a dead layer of turf grass that develops between the lawn and your actual soil. And it just means that your nutrients and your water are not getting through, so it's creating another whole layer. So it's also a possible area for really getting really serious pest issues. and it makes mowing difficult. You're going to scalp some areas, and some areas are not going to get cut at all. And so how you want to do it is you want to mow it at the recommended height of 4 inches. And some lawnmowers only go up to 3 inches, but mow it at the highest level of your lawnmower. And then don't fertilize except twice a year. Once in the springtime with a 15-0-15, and that you could do that between March and April. And then again in September, October, the end of September, first part of October, again with another 15-0-15. Watering it only when necessary, not because it's your day to water. That will help keep your lawn from being overwatered. And then if you do need to get, aerate it, you need to contact a company that will do it for you. And then you could also use vertical mowers. Again, there's a lot of different possible ways to have mechanical removal of it. Contact your local landscaping company or a lawn control company, pest control company, and they will know how to take care of that for you. All right. So this is good morning, Teresa. Good morning. This is Lori from Palm Bay. We love your show and listen to it every Saturday morning. Well, thank you so much. Lizzie and I and Brooke, we all love that. So we lived in Brevard County only for 2 years. We bought a new house and the builder's grass was in pretty bad shape. We've worked hard to save it, but we have a lot of weeds. What is the best way to kill these weeds without using harsh chemicals? We want to prevent the weeds from returning too. Well, without using chemicals, and I just want to say, you know, herbicides are not bad when you use them according to the instructions and only when necessary. But using them in the summertime is not a good way to get rid of weeds. So you're going to want to wait till the fall, and you can use an herbicide in the fall that will get rid of the weeds that you have. And then again next spring, you're going to want to put a pre-emergent down. So Lori, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take photographs of your weeds, because that's going to be how you're going to know what herbicide to use. Take a picture of your weeds or take samples of your weeds to the Volusia County Extension Office in DeLand, and they will be able to identify them for you and tell you what herbicide to use. Or you can send me a photograph of it, and I will be able to identify them for you and tell you what to use. Okay, so you can do that through betterlawns.com. You can send me photographs there. But you can also go in person and take a sample of all the weeds you have, and they will tell you how to get rid of them. Don't do anything for it now. So what you want to do is keep your lawn mowed on a regular basis to prevent these weeds from, you know, growing flowers and going to seed, which will then just repeat the cycle next year. Because what's blooming now, what's growing now are summertime weeds, and they go dormant in the wintertime and come back again next year. So, you know, we're so glad you moved to Florida. We also have winter weeds that hatch during the wintertime, and then they go dormant during the summertime. So you just need to get a good regimen for a couple of years of controlling the weeds from even germinating, and that's going to be your secret to having a nice weed-free lawn.
Yeah, you have to have patience with stuff like that. Like whenever you've either got cactus or even sand spurs, because I can remember it took my grandmother when I was younger almost 5 years of nonstop pulling, putting them in the wheelbarrow slowly so none of them fell out. And almost 5 years between cactus and sand spurs, 5 years, what do you call it, regularly? Would that be the proper verbiage for her?
Yeah.
Consistently doing it. Mm-hmm. Finally, thank you, Jesus, we are sand spur and cactus free on our property.
There you go. And so that happens a lot in Lake County because, you know, the cactus is a native plant that the tortoises use, mm-hmm, for those dry upland scrub areas. And so, yeah, it's you have to do it because it's also in horse pastures, too.
We had cows and we had horses.
They probably ate the fruit of the cactus, mm-hmm, then they kind of spread it that way. So, no, very good. So I appreciate that. That's, you know, get patience. So good morning, Teresa. Enjoy your show. I have a spot in my backyard about 10 feet long and 8 feet wide where Bermuda grass took over 2 years ago. The rest of my yard is St. Augustine. The St. Augustine is creeping back into where the Bermuda is. So how can I encourage that so it takes over completely? My name is Whit from Ormond Beach. Thank you, Whit, for texting in. I don't know if you're ever going to get rid of the Bermuda just by letting the St. Augustine, try to grow back. I would suggest that the best way to do it and the quickest way to do it is to go ahead and, you know, make a section of that Bermuda grass. Take a section, get rid of it, and then resod it with St. Augustine. And so you will need to do that. And I would probably use a glyphosate product that gets rid of all the that square or that triangle wherever you have that Bermuda grass. If you wait for that St. Augustine to recover or to push over the Bermuda, it's going to take you a couple of years. And, you know, you may never get rid of that Bermuda. And then you have your Bermuda mixed in with your St. Augustine. So I would get rid of the Bermuda grass that you have that you can see, that you can outline and say, let's get rid of that. And then go ahead and plug or sod it and let the St. Augustine grow. Okay, great question. So JAC in Cocoa Beach says, why the zero in 15-0-15? I love that question. Okay, so the 15-0-15 is the analysis of the fertilizer in that bag. And it doesn't matter how big the bag is. It could be a 20-pound bag. It could be a 5-pound bag. It could be a 10-pound bag. Whatever is in that bag, the weight, the analysis is 15-0-15, and that's 15% nitrogen, 0% phosphorus, and 15% potassium. And this is what the University of Florida recommends for your turf grasses, and that is because it needs 15% nitrogen to grow leaves, and it needs that 15% potassium to handle the stress, grow thicker cell walls, and create a nice, healthy, mature sod. But the zero is for phosphorus, which produces flowers and fruit. And as we know, everybody knows, St. Augustine grass does not have flowers or fruit.
What?
Yeah, and so you do not need phosphorus, but it also stimulates root production. So on a normal plant, you would add a little bit of phosphorus. But we have enough phosphorus here in our soils in Florida that we usually don't need to apply phosphorus to the fertilizer. So it's always best to get a soil test, soil analysis of your soil before you fertilize. Let the University of Florida recommend a fertilizer just for your landscape. So that's really good. We're going to be back with the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. Yes, that's where I am this morning, Better Lawns and Gardens. And I'm going to talk to you about my 4th of July lilies.
So excited. I can't wait.
Okay,
to hear about
so this is 4th of July lilies. I ordered them. They're called ditch lilies. I don't know how many of you grew up with ditch lilies.
Probably, now that I'm going to look it up.
Okay, and they are wonderful. I love them. And I'll tell you how to grow them here in Florida. We're also going to be taking your gardening questions and text messages, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. We'd like to thank Peterson's Nursery and also Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand for being sponsors of the program. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.